Okay. All right. So we talked last time about raising sons or raising men, where we said that we need to teach our sons what they are for. We are to teach them that God has made masculinity for a purpose, and therefore our sons need to learn what masculinity is, and they need to be taught to love it. God has created maleness and femaleness for a reason. There's such a thing as gendered piety. That means God has placed intent in each gender. There is intent in masculinity, and there is intent in femininity. There's a trajectory that God has built into it. And each gender then is called to pursue that, to cultivate that in their life, and to embrace joyfully that which God made them for. Some, you will find in your children, as we talk about children, but maybe even in your own life, have very deep innate desires that match very well with what God has made it to be, and others less so. And they're like, well, I don't really feel that as much. And we are called, whether we have that burning desire or not, to still conform our lives to the Word and seek to cultivate the things that God has made us for. With giving us a gender, God has put us on a trajectory, and we are to walk in accordance with it. So tonight, we're talking about what daughters are for. Raising daughters, or better, raising women. Why did God create women? What are they for? Why are they here? Why did God not just make a world full of men? Why wasn't that good? There has to be a purpose of him adding femininity into the mix. So he made women for a reason, with purpose. And there are things that women should pursue in their life. God has not set us here to wander aimlessly through this world. We have a purpose. So what I'm going to say tonight is going to fly right in the face of feminism, which would state that men and women are the same in all things. One line I heard, I had a personal conversation some time ago with a very staunch and fierce feminist. And her comment was that the only difference between men and women is that women can breastfeed. Otherwise, they're exactly the same. What a vulgar thing to say. What a vulgar thing to say. Utterly demeaning. Stripping women of their feminine glory. Reducing them to bovine status. The only unique thing about women is that they can act like cows and produce milk. Vulgar. She thought she was raising women up to something good. And we reject that sentiment outright. And we reject it based on the Word of God. There is equal value between the sexes, and they are different from one another. To a feminist, equal in value means that they are the same and they should do exactly the same things. To Christians, equal in value means equal in value regardless of what each gender is called to do. Now, this is something we have taught here over the years, and I think we are fairly well established here on this issue. But doubt can sometimes linger, especially as the pressures of the world keep coming. The world keeps pushing their lies on us and on our families. They are ever more steeped in their lies and deceits, and they seek to eradicate all distinction between the genders, saying you can be this gender, then you can be that one, then you can be a mix of both if you want. It doesn't matter. Just mix the whole thing up. I saw a video recently of some young girl who claimed that she was a red-tailed hawk. Yeah, in all seriousness, I am a red-tailed hawk trapped in a human body. And she was heartbroken that she couldn't fly. And the world says, poor girl, we should treat you like a bird. I think it was on Canada Day celebrations here at the soccer park. There was somebody walking around in a cat costume, and they had a big sign that said, I identify as a cat. And they wanted you to treat them like a cat. That's what the world does. And you see the crazy in it. And we can identify that fairly simply. And yet, there are far more subtle lies and deceits that can creep in. We live in a land that despises women, encourages them to kill their babies in the name of convenience or career or fun even. It encourages singleness. Or it encourages pride in refusing to submit to husbands. It removes that relationship and commitment from between the sexes. This world calls women to embrace a degraded identity where on one hand they might pursue promiscuity, giving themselves to anybody and everybody, or on the other hand, they may pursue masculinity and are taking on masculine traits. And all of that produces hard-hearted, prideful, stubborn, and rebellious women who once were our precious daughters. The world is an enemy, and it hates women. And we see it everywhere, women being destroyed. And we must not submit to the world. We fight them tooth and nail. We don't give so much as an inch to those who would degrade or destroy that which God has made beautiful. So it's easy to fall for those lies in much smaller ways. If someone comes along and says something outrageous, like I'm a red-tailed hawk, it's like, well, okay, like that's easy to see. It's crazy. But we can think that being the keeper at home is less fulfilling than a career in the business world. We can think that having kids isn't a biblical priority for women. We can think that submission is less glorious than leadership, even though the Bible does not teach any of those things, but the opposite. We can struggle with those maybe a little bit more. We can still think that what we do changes what our intrinsic worth is before the Lord. And those lies need to die. They need to die in our homes. And men, you need to do this. This is on you. It's on me. You must kill these lies. So how do you kill them? First way you kill them is in how you treat your wife. In how you treat your wife. Is she becoming more glorious, more feminine under your leadership? Or is she shrinking and becoming afraid? Or bitter, growing in resentment, or even growing in sadness? Do you wash her in the water of the word? Do you set her free to be feminine, or does she wilt under your leadership, your disapproval, or ignoring, or frustration? So you need to guard your home against the lies of the world, and I can tell you, your children are going to see it. Your kids are going to see how you treat your wife. Your daughters will see it. And your daughters will see womanhood in just that way, with the value that you confer upon it. That's what your daughters will understand womanhood to be, and that is what they will understand it is worth, with the value that you confer upon it. It's in your home. And the way you treat your wife is how your children will view womanhood, being a wife or a mother. You dishonor her womanhood, and you can bet your children will too. So these lies need to die. And how you teach your daughters what they are for in this world. We are expected to teach our daughters to be women and to love being women. And the definition of women is found in the Word of God, nowhere else. So we look to what the Bible says about being female. That's what we want to know. What are daughters for? The first thing that daughters, that women are for, is for marriage, is for being a helper. Back to Genesis we go, where God said that it was not good for man to be alone. He said, this is not good. So what does he do? He makes woman. The very purpose of the woman was to be a wife and a helper to the man. That's what she is for. That's what she was made for. Boy, does that grate against the world. And if we're not careful, that starts to grate against our ears too. Even though we receive the word and we want to walk in the word, that can be difficult. So let's read it. Genesis 2, 18 to 25. Then the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him. Now out of the ground the Lord God had formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all livestock and to the birds of the heavens and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper fit for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, he took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman, and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother, hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. She was made for Adam, for marriage. And Paul confirms this later on in 1 Corinthians 11, where he says that man was not made for woman, but woman was made for man. You see it back in Genesis. The New Testament confirms that's what she was made for. So we can see, biblically, that women are not made to do just whatever they want. They're not here just to run around to please themselves. They're not an afterthought, nor were they made to compete with men or to take a man's role. No, they were made for a specific purpose with a trajectory built in. They were made for marriage. And we see this confirmed in a number of areas in Scripture. So 1 Timothy 5:14 says this, Paul talking, "I would have the younger widows marry," so these are ones that had been married or are now single, their husband has died, "so I would have the younger widows marry, bear children, manage their households, and give the adversary no occasion for slander." So what does God want these young women to do? He wants them to get married and have children. That's the instruction. That's what Paul says. I would have them do that. And then he tells us why. Why? Because to not do that would give their enemy an opportunity for slander. There's actually a threat built in to that. And then we see a similar thing in Titus 2:3-5. "Older women are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good and so train the young women to what?" What are the young women for? "To love their husbands and their children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home and kind, submissive to their own husbands." Now here's the warning again, "that the word of God may not be reviled." So what does God want the young women to be taught? What are we supposed to teach the young women? To get married and embrace their womanhood. Why? So that the word of God may not be reviled. God has said this is what they are for. And if we don't teach that, we are not honoring what God has said. So notice then the two warnings. The slander of the enemy, that's a threat. And the reviling of the word of God, that we revile the word. So what does that mean? What happens when women don't embrace the things that God has called them to do? Paul says just prior in 1 Timothy 5:12 and 13, just before those verses, that one verse we just read. He says, "They abandon the faith." And that's not, doesn't happen all the time, but this is the threat that happens. "They abandon the faith." And he says, "besides that, they learn to be idlers, going about from house to house, and not only idlers, but also gossips and busybodies, saying what they should not." He says they become destroyers of life instead of nurturers of life. Their hearts and their homes are in disarray. If they have children, they are wild and undisciplined, untrained, unloved. The women seek to rule over the men, taking the roles that God gave to the men. And everything gets turned upside down. The name of God is reviled. His word becomes a joke. And people say, "Look at those so-called Christian women. Ah, look what they're doing. The word says that they should get married and have kids. And they should submit to their husbands. Look at them go. They're doing all the opposites. Ha ha. Isn't that funny?" And it can be hard. Not that we have a rowdy group of women here, but on ladies' nights, I teach as well. And I'm going to be teaching this stuff to them. And you say these things, say, "Women, this is what you are for." And we shouldn't be embarrassed what the word of God says. We need to teach it. And when the word says this is what men are for, this is your responsibility, we ought not to revile the word and say, "Well, no, I'm going to do something else." We want to pursue the things that God has made us for. So what are daughters for? They're for marriage. To be a helper, that's their purpose. And as we said last time, we live in a fallen world. Time and chance happen to us all. Not everyone gets married. And that isn't always because of some personal sin, because some young girl was being rebellious and refusing that. It's not always because of sin. This is a fallen world. It's messy. Not everyone's life works out the same. But those situations do not nullify the word of God. We can't say, well, because everyone doesn't get married, I don't think God really wants women to get married. That does not follow. Those situations are challenging. They are hard. But it does not nullify what God has made men and women for. Single women can already be not just training themselves in hopes of getting married, but they can always be helping in their femininity. So I added the helper there. Women aren't stuck if they're single. They're not failures. Just like with men, not everybody gets married. That doesn't mean your life is a failure. But it doesn't nullify what we are for and the types of things that we should be pursuing. We have to pursue our masculinity and femininity in whatever season we happen to find ourselves in. So we want to take courage and embrace what God has said and not revile it by doing something else. We have to teach our daughters what they are for. The next one flows from that. Motherhood and nurturing life. The second thing that daughters are for flows out from marriage, and that is motherhood. Daughters are for becoming mothers and having children. That's what God has made them for. God has placed having children in the context of marriage. And if women are for marriage, that means they are also for motherhood. God has revealed that in his word. And we can see it in her very creation. A woman's body is designed to be able to bear children. That's how they are made. That's what they are for. That's why they are built that way. So we see in the word, those passages we read earlier, that women are to have children, to love them. Childlessness in the Bible is always seen as an affliction for the woman. It's hard for her to not have children. Not everybody can. And it's hard. And she longs for them. Women tend to have that innate desire to marry and to have children. And this natural longing fits in with what God has revealed when he says that you should marry and have children. That's good. It's the normal pattern of life, the consistent instruction of the Bible. So pointing out the exceptions and difficulties in life, as we said, doesn't nullify that. If a woman doesn't get married or she is hindered from having children, that doesn't nullify the main thrust of what God has made women for. And so we got to embrace the word and keep pursuing the things, cultivating what we can. Women care for life, for new life. They want to take care of it, man. One of our ladies here has a baby, and she shows up here on a Sunday morning, and within 30 seconds, she's going to have a gaggle of about 20 women around her, all so happy because there's a baby. Like, how great is it? And everyone wants to hold the baby. And my girls were still living at home. If somebody, it was announced that somebody had a baby, it was like, oh, maybe I can hold the baby this Sunday. Maybe I can hold the baby, right? They were just so terribly excited. I think it was when my Jolene was born, her second one. And Jasmine wanted to hold her, and Jasmine was like a year and a half older. And so we put Jolene in Jasmine's lap, and I wasn't about to let go, right? I didn't trust Jasmine for the life of me. So I kind of held Jolene there, and Jasmine was so mad. She was so mad at me. Let me hold the baby. Like, I want to hold the baby. Get your hands off of her. I didn't trust her at all. But women have this unique ability to bear children in their own bodies. And they know that. They live with their cycles, their biological clock. They're made for this. And brothers, we need to teach our daughters that that is good. It's so important. They bring forth the next generation. God desires God the offspring. Where will they come from? They are for having children. So men, you need to love the femaleness, the fruitfulness of your wives. It's something that we don't have in the way that they do. We are to live with them in an understanding way. Teach our daughters how wonderfully they are made, what God has made them for. Honor that and cherish it, encourage it, teach it, love it. daughters are for marriage and children, that's good. And they need to grow up in a home where they can see their dad honor their mom and how you treat them, how you see it, how you value it. Your daughters need to hear you speak of the glories of motherhood. You ask yourself, what is the tone of your home? Do your daughters know by what you teach, by what you do, how you act, how you speak? Do they know how wonderful it is to be a girl? Do they know what it means to be one? Do they see how you live with your wife and say, wow, that looks amazing. I would like that in my life one day. Therefore, motherhood and nurturing life. Third thing that daughters are for. They are for glory. They are for beauty. Now, dads, you have a huge responsibility and a battle ahead of you in this area of beauty. And this is a battle that you must not lose. Do not lose this one, men. This one's on you. Losing is not an option. You must not fail your daughters. We got to understand this, and then we fight until we win. And I mean that in all earnestness. Do not fail your daughters in this one. There are two great weapons that are raised up against our precious daughters in this area of beauty. And those are the weapons of envy and shame. Our daughters are taught from young on to compare themselves to others constantly. The world holds out standards of beauty, and those standards of beauty are false. They're contrived. And most painfully, they are out of reach, constantly changing. And girls learn quickly to be envious of some unattainable goal of beauty in order to be accepted and loved. And so they're off in this never-ending quest to attain to a goal that they can just never get to. They can't get there. Fashion models, half-starved, airbrushing in the photos, diet pills, depression pills, all kinds of filters on your phone so you look a certain way, endless enhancements, skimpy clothing, how you look, how you walk, how you talk, on it goes. And everywhere there are men who chase after those standards and say, wow, you think our daughters don't see that? Do they not know the lust of the hearts of men? Oh, they know. They can see it. They get the message loud and clear, and even if your daughters don't know what's going on specifically in your heart and mind, if you struggle there, they know what's going on. They know what's happening. They know what the world says is desirable. And a dad who never tells his girl sincerely that she is beautiful is pushing her right into the arms of a world who hates her. They will destroy her. And so girls become envious, willing to do whatever it takes to be loved. They can rebel, give themselves over to all these pursuits, and through it, so many young women are ruined. Do not let your daughters go down the path of envy, men, desiring what she ought not to, trying to attain to the world's ever-changing and false standards of beauty, where she becomes willing to do terrible things to herself. You must not fail your daughters in this. Don't fail them. That envy destroys beauty. It robs the person of the beauty that they already have. They never even see it. They think that their own beauty is ugly because they're constantly comparing to something they don't have and they can't get to. And she reviles the word of God, and she doesn't even know that she's doing it, because God has made her beautiful and called her to it. And she hates her own beauty. She's reviling the word of God. Dads, you are the front line. You are your daughter's defender. Don't let her down. The world is out to destroy her. Then on the other hand, we have envy on one. On the other hand is the weapon of shame. Many girls take this route, where instead of envy leading to outlandish attempts at beauty, a young lady might take the other road of shame. And they become ashamed of how they look. They shrink back. They hide. They would hide whatever beauty they have. They always talk down about themselves. They have no joy in their feminine beauty. When they look in the mirror, they are sad because of what they see. They have no confidence, hanging their head in shame. And so often they try their best to look frumpy and carefree so no one knows how much they're hurting. People think that they don't care because they're trying to hide their own beauty behind that mountain of shame that is piled upon them. And they never see their own glory because they no longer think they have any. They don't know what they're for. Bible says that woman is the glory of man. She is meant to shine bright, to be joyful and beautiful in her femininity. And so many young girls are ashamed of what they are. And they are robbed. And the word of God is maligned. And both of these weapons lead our daughters into slavery. So dads, this is your battle to win. It's time to suit up. You got to fight for your daughters. She needs to know that she is beautiful and she needs to learn what to do with that beauty. To delight in her own beauty without pride. Simple task, right? Teach your daughter to delight in her beauty without pride. Just as the glory of young men is their strength, and we should rejoice in the young man's strength, so the glory of young women is their beauty, and there should be rejoicing there too. The world does not know beauty outside of immodesty. But we need to do better. So dads, teach your girls about being beautiful. Warn them about the traps of envy and shame. I got four daughters. Oh, you bet I've seen the world try to deceive them, and I hate it. I hate it. What the world would seek to do to my daughters and yours. Defend them. Teach them what they are for. Do not be ashamed of the word of God. Do not revile it. Fight until you win. Take delight in your daughters. Let them put flowers in their hair, put on pretty dress, put something pretty on the table. Encourage them in their femininity. Let them twirl and be amazed. Tell them they're beautiful. Help them cultivate it, guarding against pride. Now, not all girls will be the same. Not everybody wants to twirl in their dress all the time. Mine did. Whatever their personality is, all girls are meant for glory and for beauty. Every last one. It's our job to cultivate that in them, to give them that confidence and that joy that that is what God has made them for, so they're not envious of what they don't have and they're not ashamed of what they do. Boy, there's a task. Paul says that woman is the glory of man. In the Song of Solomon, the bridegroom praises the beauty of his bride over and over and over again. It's good. Girls should go up confident and free, confident that they are beautiful and glorious, free from envy and shame, free from the lies of the world, and that's not going to happen by accident. Boy, if you're going to think that they're going to figure this out on their own without their dad leading them, you got another thing coming. The world is active. It doesn't just lie, it hates. It doesn't just lie to our girls, it hates them, and it would destroy them. Oh, it would destroy them. So it doesn't happen by accident. We are called to teach them what they are for, to love them. So dads, especially dads, need to get in this battle for their daughters' souls. You are the first man in their life, and they're looking to you. They're looking to you for your approval, your blessing, your joy in them, and you got to pour it out on your daughters. Let them know that they are beautiful. So all day long out in the world, they're being told that they don't measure up. They're not good enough. And so many men, without wanting to communicate that as well, as they lust after the false beauty of the world, look to pornography, whatever, all these different things, praising that which is not praiseworthy. We invite that into our homes. And our daughters know it. Maybe not specifically, but they know it. How does your wife know what type of day you had when you just walk in the room without you saying a word. I don't know how they know the things they know, but they do. Spooky. So just as boys who are afraid of being weak shrink back, because the glory of young men is their strength, and they're taught to be strong and to love their strength. And if a young man is ashamed or afraid that he doesn't have strength, or he's envious of someone else, thinking he's weak, that which would be something he rejoices in becomes his fear. I can't measure up. I'm not strong enough. I'm not like all the others. I can't keep up. I can't do it. And he just shrinks and he wilts down into nothing. He needs to be taught his strength. Just so, girls need to be taught as well, or they will shrink away and they will wilt to nothing. Girls are so susceptible to this, of being afraid of not being beautiful. We see it not just in our daughters, but we would see it in our wives as well. They want to be told that they're beautiful, that we love them, that we're there for them. The Bible says to be enchanted with her, to be satisfied with her, to praise her. This is the need of the feminine soul, and so many times us men can be pretty dull in that area, insensitive, not recognizing the great need that they have and the great call in our life to pour that out for them, to build them up. So it starts in your home, cultivating your heart in that way. It starts with how you treat your wife. That's on full display in your home. And it starts in your home with your daughters. If we're going to have a godly generation, we have to teach them what they are for. It's more than just words, men. We got to get in there and live it as best as we can. Everyone's situation is different. It's not easy in a fallen world. Time and chance happen. Broken families, all kinds of heartaches. That does not negate what we're for and what we're called to do. Whatever your season is, get to work. Cry out to God on their behalf. Do not leave your daughters defenseless. Daughters are for marriage and helping. They're for motherhood and nurturing life. They are for glory and beauty. Cultivate these things in your daughters. In this world, they truly are damsels in distress. There's a dragon out to get them. It's not a fairy tale. They have an enemy. And they need a real hero. They need that knight in shining armor. They need their dads. That's you. Don't let her down, men. Teach your daughters what they are for. This is a battle you can't lose. Don't stop. No matter if it's bleak or if it's hard, don't stop fighting for your daughters. There is an enemy. And the daughters need their dads to come and rescue them. It's not a game. May the Lord strengthen us to the task that he has given us, that our eyes would be open to see what it is we're called to, and that with masculine courage, we take up that battle and we fight until we win. Honor your wives. Honor your daughters.